Pandemonium reigns.
What is up? Pandemonium reigns. We're here. We're going to talk Clemson. The 2024 Clemson Tigers. Cade Klubnik has opened up his mouth before the microphone and dropped some pretty heavy language. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into all things 2024 Clemson. Before we do, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by our friends over at Lauren Foster. That's a weird way to present that. She is a realtor who is one of the proud sponsors of Pandemonium Reigns. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home in the Gainesville or Cumming area, I'll make sure that her information is posted in the stuff below. If you're watching on YouTube, information will be right there. Appreciate you, Lauren, for being a proud sponsor of Pandemonium Reigns 2024 Clemson and Cade Klubnik. My boy, why don't you go ahead and read us the words in which Cade has dropped.
It would be my honor to present these words for the good people. Cade Klubnik, we talked about this, you and I, probably a month ago. So it's a little, you know, it's been a minute. But brought to us by PFF College, the quote from Cade Klubnik that follows. Our goal is to go undefeated, and I fully believe this is the team that can do it. I think we've got every single piece. That those are the words from Mr. Klubnik.
And before we get into it, I can already hear the dogs barking.
Me too. Me too. You know, that's perfect. Because when I saw this quote, I was like, you know what? He can get away with this in early March at the time probably that we talked about this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this is me thinking about their schedule in my head. I'm like, oh, you know, they don't have like a Chick-fil-A kickoff with Georgia this year. This is probably a fine year to say it. I was wrong. I was wrong. They do. They do have Georgia to start with.
Mistakes have been made.
Big mistakes. Big mistakes have been made.
So I think one of the greatest indicators of the present or the future is the past. You know, I teach college-age students, and I teach high school students, and every year we do like a love, sex, and dating series, and I promise I'm getting somewhere with this, and I tell them one of the greatest indicators of somebody else's future is their past. Not saying that you should hold that over their head, but, you know, habits and practicalities and normals and routines don't just suddenly change overnight.
Yep.
So what I want to do with that said is just take a peek at 2023 and highlight some things, because you know what? Even that 2023 roster was solid. You know, they got some dudes
sure was
who are going to be entering into the draft, such as Jeremiah Trotter, who was on that team, Nate Wiggins, who I believe blew through the 40. They're losing dudes like Tyler Davis and Xavier Thomas, who were menaces on that defensive front. They do have some additions, you know, coming in. Did pretty well. I think it's a top 15 recruiting class. Sammy Brown's coming in. He could be an instant impact. They got a five-star receiver out of Tampa, Florida. TJ Moore, 6'3". So he's a big one who could potentially be a first-year impact. But when you just start looking at the numbers regarding the 2023 Clemson Tigers, it's not that it's not good. It's that it's not Clemson standard. It's not what they It's not what they have been. So
perfectly said.
I want to pose this question to you before we really start to dive into this. And I think I feel like I'm softball pitching this to you because I feel like you're about to knock this thing out the park. My name is Michael Walker and I hit dingers. What has their identity been under Dabo?
They're okay, good. I was thinking that when you said that, I thought you were going to ask me what is their identity now. And that is you can't easily know that information based on watching their offense try to function because it's a real struggle.
Yeah.
And it screams that Dabo still will not take his hands fully off of it, is what it screams to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what it's been, it has been I mean, look, there are finesse aspects of their game, but they have won in via, you know, dominating the trenches, especially on defense, being more than sufficient offensively in the trenches, being powerful enough to run and set up their play action and get guys like Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence on the move to really be athletes at the quarterback position, and also really, really accurate passers, I'll add. And when they did that, they were throwing to future NFL receivers, right?
Yeah.
That's a big – and that's my biggest issue, actually, when I think about Cade's comments, is that they have every single piece. Nothing in the last couple of years indicates that they have every single piece. They've clearly taken several steps back at certain positions, at their skill positions at the least, I would say. And it could be that it's what I'm talking about, their identity now being an identity that's taken hits, like losing OCs to head coach positions, you know, having to make moves to fire and hire at coordinator as well. That takes a toll, and it ultimately starts to point back to your head coach at times, like, you know, at points like last season, mm-hmm. when it was still a mess. But I would say that their identity has been getting set up for play action, getting set up to move the ball down the field to lanky, athletic receivers, and then, you know, a guy in the slot like a Renfro, not necessarily exclusively him. They've had success without him. But having, you know, making a push for wide receiver you. Come on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know we're about to get into it, but they aren't even like ACC wide receiver you of late. Like, it is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to add to that, their identity on the field has been, I think you summed it up well, explosive offenses. Deshaun Watson, yeah. and Trevor Lawrence to guys like T. Higgins and Deion Kane and name after name after name. And yeah. defensively, monsters on the front, right? Just every yard being hard to come by. And then you've got the off-the-field
yes.
community, where there was consistency in staff, and he harped on this culture thing. Well, now your culture is under a lot of pressure because you have Clemson fans who are irritated because you won't do things in the portal, and you're not adapting to the change that is college football and whatnot. So your substance is shaky. And that's my biggest argument against Clemson, is all the things that they've harped on for so long is now on shaky ground. So
yeah,
that's kind of it in a nutshell. But 2023, if you can, take a look at pull up their 2023 schedule and results if you have that up. And I just want to make some highlights on 2023. They were sixth in the ACC. Sixth in the ACC. So they finished 9-4, and that snapped a 12-year stretch for them with at least 10 wins. Now, I know that we're getting ready to dog them, and we have a little bit thus far, but tell me you wouldn't trade. You know what I'm saying? Tell me you wouldn't trade that record over the last decade. You know, put that in my veins.
Oh, yeah. A minimum of 120 wins over the last 12 years.
Yeah, dude.
All day, every day. Oh, you added in a couple national championships all day. You lost another national championship. What do I sign?
Yeah, put it in my blood. So they've lost at least three games in three consecutive seasons. That's the downside for them. So that's not quite mm-hmm. the Clemson standard since, you know, Taj Boyd was under center. You've got is it Klubnik? Klubnik? Do you just want to call him Cade?
Let's call him Cade.
Cade was 63.4%. on his passes, 2,800 yards, 21 touchdowns, 9 picks. Joe Milton, just for what it's worth, was 20 touchdowns and 5 picks, if anybody wants to have some kind of comparison. Phil Moffa's going to be back. He's a monster, 6'1", 230. He had 179 attempts or carries for 965 yards and 13 scores on the ground. That's better than Will Shipley, who is out of here. 167 attempts for 827 and 5 scores. Their leading receiver was little guy, Tyler Brown, 5'11", 180, 52 catches, 531 yards, 4 scores. All right, here we go into some team stats. They were 228 passing yards per game. That's 61st in the country. And this is what's even more remarkable about this. We're about to just glance over their 2023 schedule that just really puts this thing in a whole nother lens. They were 174 rushing yards per game. That's 43rd best in the country. Get this, man. These numbers blew me away. I cannot wait to see your face when I say this. This came out to 402 total offensive yards per game. Less. That is less than Texas A&M, who had 406 total yards per game. But it gets better. That's better than Florida State, who had 401 yards per game. And the only way that I can resolve that is it's including the bowl game, the blowout against Georgia, and it's including the conference championship game where they struggled against Louisville. But that number, less than Texas A&M, boy, that gets me. Now, peek at the 2023 schedule with me, and let's point out some things, okay? So they opened the season with a 28-7 loss to Duke. They also had losses in overtime to Florida State, 31-24. In Clemson, by the way, they had a loss to Miami, 28-20 in overtime. Whew. And a loss to NC State, 24-17. Look at that 2023 schedule, dude, and tell me where the quality wins are. Notre Dame? Maybe?
North Carolina? I mean, those have got to be your top two. Wake Forest was bad. You know, big step back. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be Notre Dame or North Carolina. It's got to be those.
They're 2-0 against the SEC East. Closing out their year. Wins over South Carolina.
There it is.
16-7.
There it is.
Over Shane Beamer. And a 38-35 win over Stoops.
I mean, neither team wanted to win the game.
Neither team wanted to win it. Now, all is not lost. So, as we start to transition to 24, so you've got second-year offense coordinator Riley. He's back. And with that, they returned 10 starters from the 11 on offense that started in the Gator Bowl. They returned 8 on defense that started on defense in the Gator Bowl. So all is not lost. The upside to this is I like that there's a lot of returning starters on offense, and Riley's back. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I believe that there's a big jump in production in first year to second year systems. So I do think that you're going to see a jump there. But kind of like we've talked about in the past with Dabo is, who are they throwing it to and who are they handing it to? I mean, Phil Moffa is almost a 1,000-yard rusher, and he's a load. He's 200. He's 6'1", 230.
Yeah.
He's a load. And it's going to be his backfield. It's his now.
Yeah.
He's not sharing this with Shipley anymore, and he's an every-down back. He's got just enough to break long ones. I think he had a long one to seal it against, or excuse me, no. I'm thinking of Duke. Never mind. Scratch that. So you have to like his upside. And I couldn't tell you who the defensive coordinator is, but I'm pretty sure it's his second.
Oh, no.
I don't think they had a turnover there.
I don't believe they did. So, after Venables left, I don't believe they did.
Right. But here it is. Cade's words are, we have the roster. We got the guys to go undefeated. Let's jump into 2024. They're going to be on a neutral turf. Neutral. I say this with air quotes because it's a 45-minute drive for the Dogs. I guess it's 2 hours drive from the Dogs to Atlanta. Are you really going to take Clemson over Georgia week one, Mercedes-Benz?
I would bet every object in my possession that Georgia covers. Georgia covers.
Yes.
And you know, you make it, and they won't do this because that's not how they roll. Make it 13.5, make it 16.5.
Uh-huh.
Georgia covers.
Yeah.
I'm taking that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm absolutely taking that because there's no reason not to at this point.
With what all Georgia returns and their identity and how that's not been messed with, there's so many reasons to like Georgia. So from the cuff, Cade's wrong. Well, can Clemson do it? Yes, they need everything to go right.
100%. 100%. You need to, you got to, I mean, look at how good Carson Beck was with the ball last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make him make mistakes, and you got to get to him. And he was pretty dang elusive for his size, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the reason that they, I almost said that they lost games, but they, I'm going to say he wasn't the reason they lost to Alabama. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you, I don't even know, man. I can't even like devise a path on April 1st that they do that.
Yeah. Oh, same here, dude. So for the sake of the conversation, let's take a ride through the rest of their schedule and just continue to make projections and see if, you know, if it'll be better than 2023. So they're going to, after they play Georgia in Mercedes-Benz, they're going to travel back home and host App State. And App State just continues to be a team with an identity who you don't want to mess with and you don't want to play. And they love coming to your house and they love coming and messing up your home and messing up your stories and your dreams. And I couldn't tell you a single dude who's on App State's team, but I don't care because it's that black and yellow. And you know what? It's local. Clemson is going to be just a few hours away from Boone, North Carolina. So you know there's a lot of crossover there, and there's a lot of App State fans and players who would love to get this one. You know, as much as Clemson might have Georgia circled, they might. I guarantee you App State's looking at this going, we got a chance at this one. We got a shot at this one.
This sets up real nice. This sets up real nice is what they're saying.
It does. Now, I will take Clemson in it. I will,
but I'm gonna make that same mistake that I usually do there, and you know I'm gonna say that the power wins, but it sets up real nice for Appy State.
Absolutely, but I am gonna be nervous about it.
Yep, and I'm gonna be and nervous. Dabo should be too.
Yes. Now, what's nice about this for Clemson is they go ahead and get a bye after two games going into NC State.
Yep.
The other bye, I hate the spot of the other bye. I don't hate this one as much. But you're going to host NC State, and NC State – okay, so NC State to me is a lot like – okay, back up. NC State Clemson is a lot like, to me, Tennessee Kentucky, whereas we categorize our rivals Alabama, Florida, those guys. And Kentucky looks at us, and they act – don't get me wrong. Kentucky could, you know, fall in mud, and I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But Kentucky looks at us. I'm going to imagine the same way NC State looks at Clemson, right? It's a rivalry, you know, and it matters to Clemson, but NC State probably hates Clemson more than Clemson hates NC State. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Well said.
So it's at home. I'm going to take Clemson here.
Yeah. We'll know a lot about NC State because 2 weeks prior, Tennessee, NC State will know some things about them. But, you know, right now at Clemson, the truth is they do have the pieces to win that game in a lot of these games. So this is going to be one where I'm going to favor Clemson.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we get a new conference game after this one. And they get to host Stanford.
Yeah, dude.
They get to host Stanford. And the only thing I know about Stanford is just that miraculous comeback they pulled on Colorado last year. And you know what? We talked a lot about identity. Shaw is out at Stanford. I cannot remember the new guy's name. I feel like we're not.
Troy Taylor.
There you go. I feel like I'm not podcasting very well at the moment with as many times as I said. I don't know this. I'm going to take Clemson just because of the talent gap. And Stanford has now crossed over four time zones. Give me Clemson.
Yeah. I can't describe to you the confusion in my mind. That's a really weird place for a non-conference game, I said. And then I remembered that Stanford is in the Pacific division of the Atlantic Coast Conference. So, you know, give me Clemson because of all those reasons. But dang it, I hate this crap.
Can you imagine being Stanford and going, all right, yeah, the ACC, and you draw Clemson. Like, dadgummit.
Oh, yeah. And just real quick while we're on the topic. This is Stanford, okay? Host TCU, host Cal Poly bye week at Syracuse, Friday, September 20th, at Clemson, the week that we're talking about, VT at Notre Dame, You're also coming back in the first week of November to NC State. We don't have to go down this road again, but what are we doing?
They're going to be racking up the sky miles, man.
Yeah, they're getting points, air points,
flying,
baby.
Flying for free before too long. So ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So this is where this is where I wish, if I'm a Clemson fan, where I wish the first bye is after Stanford, before Florida State, because it's at Florida State. You're coming off a loss to them from the previous year, losing in overtime at home. This is big. This is gonna come with a lot of tension and a lot of licking of the chops from DJU, because he's now in Tallahassee quarterbacking the Seminoles, and you know he wants this one. You know he wants this one, especially with the way that he left Clemson and the lack of production that Clemson was having, and he got all the blame for it. I mean, you and I even did it at parts and went, in hindsight, we said, whoa, maybe this wasn't DJ. Maybe this wasn't him. And you know what? I really, for the sake of him, I really like the way that this is unfolded on his behalf, getting some pro system looks at Oregon State, making his way now to a bigger stage in Florida State and how that's going to translate. Really looking forward to seeing him in that garnet and gold. It's at home for the Seminoles. Mike Norvell is going to continue to do work in the portal. So whatever gaps, whatever holes are there, as soon as the spring is over, he's going to be exploring it, and he's showing that it works. Okay. So I see no reason to take Clemson in this. It, in my mind, every way you look at it, it favors Florida State. Clemson now sits at two losses.
You're speaking directly from my heart. I don't have a reason to take Clemson based on trends, based on what you said about the past and what it shows for your future. That doesn't get, and part of that is very real recency bias. I will admit that, but I'm gonna trust a guy who went undefeated until the bowl game. That was a sham. And it was very unfortunate, you know. I'm going to trust that guy over the guy who is potentially sinking what had, you know, dynasty potential. I'm going to go that route.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so give me Florida State. Give me Florida State. Even after all the things that they
two losses.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I was thinking about what they lost, and then I remembered that, oh, wait, here's another candidate for the actual Portal King here. You know, I need Lane to do some more. I know he takes everybody, but I need him to do some more out of the portal before I go Lane over someone like Norvell, who, in my mind, earned a playoff berth, and I know we agree on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's another conversation that we've already had, my boy.
Sure is.
Now, what I hate for this, if I'm a Clemson fan, I can see this on the schedule, and I'm going, here it is. Here's the trap game. This is it.
Yep.
Because you only beat them by five at home last season. And it's another one of those real rivalry, weird rivalries that Clemson has. And Dave Clawson remains in Wake Forest, so you know he wants it.
Yep.
I don't know that I feel good enough to pull the trigger on Wake Forest, but I definitely think it's a trap game. It's one of those where you could be turning it on at the top of the fourth quarter, where you and I are texting one another saying, bro, flip it over. Look what's happening. Or we just say the words Clemson with the eye emoji. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes. Yes.
Take a peek.
Like Moffa just fumbled for the third time in the red zone. Look.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that the Wake Forest crowd is going to be hostile or anything like that, because I think they hold about seven more than Vanderbilt. But
yes.
Look out for it. Give me Clemson, though.
Yeah. Look, I agreed. Be on alert. But, you know, Clemson at this moment.
For sure. UAV, second year head coach. Here it is. I'm doing bad podcasting again. What's his name?
Tony Elliott,
who spent a lot of time in Clemson, South Carolina, working on the Dabo Swinney staff. Could you say this is a trap game? Maybe if it was in Charlottesville. Maybe. That's a stretch. Vanderbilt, you see what I did there. Virginia just doesn't have the horsepower, nor do they have the consistency. It's only the second year. First year was atrocious.
Yep.
Give me Clemson, but I do think it's something to just take note of as Tony Elliott makes a return to Clemson.
Yes. Yeah, I've got it on light upset alert. That quarterback, that lefty athletic quarterback, I think he's a lefty. Calandria, I believe is his name, or Calandria. I don't know the pronunciation is my deal. you know, just light, brief upset alert. I would say you're on more of an upset alert by Appy State because that's so well documented and the sure. heart that they always have. But yeah, don't overlook it going into your bye with Louisville waiting. I think that's why you were talking about the placement of this bye that's coming
yep.
here.
Yep.
Don't overlook it because UVA hung in there in some games last year where they weren't expected to. They've got a gunslinger. Elliott sets up well for that in theory if he figures it out as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Just don't overlook it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you set it up. There it is, coming off a bye week, hosting Louisville, an ACC team that I don't want to mess with, not at this moment. They're trending up. They had a really good year one under Brohm as he returns to his alma mater, where I believe all of his 13 babies played quarterback at Louisville. Bit of a joke, but
yep,
they're trending up. I mean, you know, they ended 2023 with a bad taste in their mouth, and imagine how they felt with all that Florida State chatter and whatnot. I only expect more out of Louisville going into 2024, and maybe if this game was in Louisville, I would say and think differently. I'm still going to take Clemson because of the talent gap, and I just can't see Clemson having three losses by this point. Again, yeah. It's still, you know, is it the Clemson standard? No, but I'm not ready to say that, you know, the ship is sinking or anything like that. However, you lose that game to Wake Forest, just say, okay? And you say, well, that's impossible. Okay, well, Duke did it last year, all right?
Yep.
Let's say you lose that game to Wake Forest. You're now at three losses. You bounce back against Virginia. You get a bye week. You host Louisville. I might be taking Louisville right there just because
yeah.
I'm going to be saying things like Clemson has put more things on film that they are susceptible to. Wake Forest exposed something. And Brohm, if anybody's going to find it, it's going to be Brohm, and he's going to exploit it.
Yeah.
I do like the matchup. I don't care who's under center for Louisville. I don't know enough names for Clemson defensively. Brohm's going to find something. He's going to exploit it. It's what he does. He's really good at it. I'm going to take Clemson, though.
Yeah, this is a pretty firm toss-up for me, but with a gun to my head, I'm also taking Clemson. It's one of those deals where I just need Louisville to now show me some continuity because, frankly, last year, you know, they're very well in the hunt for a 12-team playoff spot if it was live last year. And now I just don't know, is that something they can maintain with the roster where it's been? You know, what are they going to do? Like you said, not knowing the names of guys on Clemson's defense, well, I don't know four guys approximately on Louisville's roster right now. So show me the continuity. It's a toss-up in my mind. I lean Clemson really heavily, especially at home, when at this point with the things you're looking at, the groundwork has been done for 10 wins if you pull this one out.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I love the way you presented that. Hey, let's lump these next three together. Is that all right? I imagine you're
out. That's perfect with me.
I imagine that you're on the same page. So we got at Virginia Tech, at Pitt, hosting Citadel. Win, win, win. I don't care that it's in Blacksburg. Virginia Tech is just no. I don't care that it's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just doesn't have enough. And finally, Citadel. Citadel, I do think, is one of those offenses that could cause some trouble maybe up until halftime, whatnot. So give me Clemson wins right there. They're now sitting still just at two losses, but then they're going to end the season hosting South Carolina. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I'm picking Clemson again right here, but just for the sake of conversation, it's the Palmetto Bowl. It's a rivalry. You got any thoughts on that one?
I've got to see one quick thing before I tell you. No, nothing else on that one for me. Shane Beamer's coaching for his job, if he still has it at that point, which is
a great point.
Always scary. That's always scary, you know, when they've beaten you a couple of years ago and when they've been a thorn both teams are a thorn in each other's flesh. That's a reality in this series. Is it's like whoever is doing the best in a season has the hard luck in this series. It's weird, right?
Yes.
But, you know, Beamer's coaching for his job. I think if he's still in it at that point of the season, dude, they have so many holes. If Clemson loses that game, Dabo should be on the hot seat, is my take. So Clemson for sure. I'm with you on the other three. VT's taking baby steps, but they've still got so many issues. Pitt is like a once every 4 or 5 year program. Mm-hmm. They still haven't really recovered from losing Pickett still. So I don't see them taking much of a step, and I'm with you. You know, the Citadel is like a scarier team at that level that you don't want to see very often. But again, we're talking about being in position to get back to 10 wins, play for 11 in your postseason, and, you know, 10 may get you in the playoff. Who knows? So things are very real at this point of the season for Clemson. I don't see them losing a game like that if their culture hasn't taken hits and things like that.
Agreed. I think in order for them to lose to South Carolina, the wheels have come off somewhere. Cade's gotten injured. Yeah. You know, Dabo's.
He's injured. He's lost a job.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Dabo's, you know, on the hot seat because it turns out he's got a weird foot fetish or something like that. You know, it's.
he's going at it with callers on the weekly show again. You know, something's
up.
Something's up.
So we both got them at 10-2. We both have the same losses.
Yep.
Okay. So we're in the final five-ish, six-ish minutes here of the episode. I want to end this way. Is Dabo? Oh, wait. I feel like we should recap. They don't go undefeated. Cade missed the mark.
No.
There's just two games where I go, you just no. So all right, back to this. Dabo. Is he a top 10 all-time head coach?
My initial lean is no. If you don't lose the ship so quickly out of, again, the 2015 to 2018 or so run, if you keep at least giving me 10, you're not getting stuck in a pit of mud offensively. You're losing. We're questioning your identity now. You're nowhere near where it was. If you kept that rolling, or I'll give him this. If you find a way back to it, which will be very, very difficult, all the things we've outlined, doesn't love NIL, hates the portal, all those things. If he gets back to it, I'll open the door there. He's not right now for me.
Yeah. Top 25.
I don't think.
Top 25, I'm going to say yes. Yeah. Top 10, I'm going to say no. If he would just do some little things, like exactly what you talked about, and that's just adapting to the changes of the game, I mean, the narrative might be totally different on him. Maybe it's different if he wins that 2015 matchup.
Maybe.
He's not doing the things that has made him successful in the past. And, you know, he made a really good move in hiring Venables. And once he lost Venables and Tony Elliott, just haven't turned out to what, you know, we expected. Even I thought Riley was going to be a major game changer, and it just wasn't, at least not year one. So,
yeah. And maybe he gets back to it year two. But possibly. Right now, the taste of my mouth is just, it's trending a little former. I'm not saying he's there. He can do so much more because the roster still is in such a really good place. Top 15 classes, that's good. I would be personally, as a head coach, really excited at the prospect of bringing in transfers. I wouldn't have that same take, and I know I don't think you would either. I mean, we don't love it, but my eyes would light up at the opportunity to bring in a guy. Hey, I didn't have to battle for sophomore to senior year of his high school era in order to bring him in. I've just got to make a great splash impression. Here's how we're going to use you. Here's what you're going to do for us. That would light my eyes up, man.
Yep.
And I don't know why you don't buy into that when you see how it's changing the sport.
Agreed. I'm with you. But he's just not going to do it.
That's what he's not going to do it, and he needs to come off of that.
Agreed. The second thing that I want to ask you is Clemson, 2024. Are they going to the playoffs?
Oh, man. Gosh, good question.
We got them at 10-2. We got losses to Georgia and losses to Florida State. But I want you to look at the wins. They're not there. There's 10 of them, but they're not.
They're not there, but think about the last episode we just did. Teams ranked 13 and 14, the wins that they had.
That's a great point.
Think about it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
And look, I could see Georgia. It is 12. That's true. And we're not at 14 yet. But I mean, I imagine if we did a look at 11 and 12 a lot of years, I mean, we'd be saying really similar things. And yeah, there were some good teams that got nicked up and lost games or whatever, but we'd be saying a lot of the same stuff. I feel like if we expanded that look to 11 and 12, or if someone would do it for us and, you know, we can speak on it, I think that would work great.
Yeah.
But you know, I talked big game earlier. I think Georgia could mow them down. I think they could shut them out. I do, because of what I've seen. But Florida State, I think, you know, that's been proven that they can make that a game, possibly steal that game. I don't expect them to, but they certainly could steal it. And if you're 11-1, I mean, if you're 11-1, mm-hmm. you're absolutely in a 12-team playoff. If you're 10-2, you've got a close loss to Florida State on the road. Georgia is, you know, top three hands down. That's a good resume, a pretty good resume. It's not national championship for us, but it's a good resume.
No, for sure, for sure. I'm going to go ahead and say that they're in. I like the 10-2 odds. If they do these things where they mess around with teams like Wake Forest or even Stanford or NC State and South Carolina, maybe there's an argument depending on what happens in the rest of the country. For the sake of if you're holding a gun to my head, I'll say that they're in. So nonetheless, Cade, we think you're off, man. Rooting, I'm like, I ain't got nothing against Clemson. You know, I'd like to see you, you know, actually beat Georgia. Would love to see that.
Yes.
But I don't think it's going to happen. So, nonetheless, we appreciate you guys for hanging out with us and tuning in. Make sure you hit like and subscribe on the video and wherever you have found this lovely podcast tickling your ears. We appreciate it so, so, so much. In honor of it being right off Easter weekend, I want to tell you a little quote from my seminary professor. The Lord loves you, and the devil's an egg-sucking, yellow-bellied liar. I'm Dan. He's Mike. God bless. Go Vols.
GBO.
Pandemonium reigns.